This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.
Kia ora, my name's Rex Lovegrove, and welcome to Colours of the Heart, looking at life's challenges from a place of presence and compassion.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome forward to Colours of the Heart. Hey, and I'm with Dee Turner, and Dee was on the show about 6-7 weeks ago, and she shared her magic in relation to that, that she's passionate about, and that is, of course, propagating and creating an organic yumminess. And I witnessed and experienced firsthand her magic. So I thought I'd bring her forward on the show and talk about, you know, what's going on in relation to the situations we find ourselves in. I mean, inflation's going up, and it's in our best best interest, from my perspective, to start to get in touch with the land for soulful reasons, but also for monetary purposes. So, Dee, thank you for putting your hand up with such short notice too, my love. Look,
no worries.
We touch base on moon cycles and planning by astrology, and I'm fascinated with that topic. So could you just launch into it, please?
Yeah, so I've probably for the last 16, 17 years, since I did my biodynamic course over in Taruna College in Hawke's Bay, I have been planting using the moon cycles. So there are auspicious things to do in the garden around the full moon and the new moon. And also the ascending and descending moon, and also, as you said, the constellations as well. So it's lots of people just think it's hocus pocus, but the biodynamic calendar is really in line with the Maramataka
right.
as well. They're very similar calendars, and really the world over, moon planting calendars are much the same, and. Yes, I tend to plant, or I transplant, or I propagate by that calendar. And what I found through the years is that I just get some really good results. I mean, there are times of the month in the moon planting calendar when it's not a great time to be putting in seeds, and it's not a great time to transplant. And I find that if you're going to be doing stuff with the soil during those times, then things just don't go really well. So I like to pick the best times to put on my liquid fertilizer, or the best times, especially if you've got really difficult seeds to propagate. People often find things like, in the summertime, eggplant in particular. And if you plant it 2 days before the full moon, or 2 days before moon opposition to Saturn, you get absolutely fantastic germination rates. I've used it for years and years, and it's just second nature to me.
Brilliant.
But I found that more and more people want to learn about it and start using it. I've got some students at the moment that are experimenting with it.
What I'm enjoying is the smile on your face. We spoke about true choices, and a true choice is based on what you love. And what you love is what I see out in your backyard, and well done to you, because it's contagious. It really is. It's absolutely contagious. You talked about liquid fertilizers, and so, like, do you make your own fertilizer? How does that work?
Yes. So I make a couple of them, actually. One is comfrey, liquid fertilizer. So having been on the course, you know all about comfrey. So yes, especially Russian clumping comfrey. So it's just a fantastic natural accumulator of minerals, and it has really deep tap roots. You know, Taranaki has fantastic levels of potassium, but they, with our rainfall, they've ended up half a meter down, and just too far down for our trees and our plants to get hold of it. What the comfrey does is it brings all of those nutrients up, especially the potassium, into its leaves, and then when you chop the leaves back, it releases potassium into the soil. If you want to then use that for your veggie garden, you just pick the leaves, mix them up in a barrel of water, stir it every day for 2 weeks, and at the end of 2 weeks, you've got this perfect liquid fertilizer. You can specifically, you know, plants that need, that produce a lot of fruit, so they flower and they fruit, so your tomatoes, eggplants, capsicums, pumpkins, kumara, potatoes, all of them are, you know, they need high levels of potassium. So it's a great liquid feed. And I just top it up all summer long. Make my first one in spring, late spring, and then all the way through the summer through into autumn.
And the process you're talking about is quite simple, isn't it?
It is.
It's not rocket science.
Not at all. Get your bucket, put your leaves in, add the water, that's it. I usually use 100 litre containers, so 50 litres of water, 50 litres of comfrey leaves.
Brilliant. And I understand you've got some workshops coming up. Yeah. So if someone wanted to get in contact with you in relation to that you do so well.
Yeah, I've actually got some... I've got some weekend workshops, and I've actually got a new one which is all to do with soils and liquid fertilizers and how we start to improve the soil biology as well. So all of those are on my website, which is codito.co.nz. Just going into July and August, I've got some very short workshops, which are just 3.5 hours. And they're great for people that just want a little bit of a taster, really, of what's going on in the garden. And the ones that are running in July are propagation courses, because this is the time of year to be doing your propagating. And I'm not very good at propagating flowers and stuff. I mean, for me, it's got to have it's got to be a food source. So the sort of propagating I'm doing is things like it could be elderberries and figs, it could be something like comfrey, it could be rhubarb, all of the ground covers, like all of the herbs. It could be something to bring in the bees, balm of Gilead, or something like pineapple geraniums, apple geraniums, peppermint geraniums. All of those go down really well.
Brilliant. What amazes me is the climate that we have here. We're so versatile in relation to what we can grow. I believe the last time I interviewed you, we talked about the bananas you got growing down the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. always propagate subtropicals in subtropical conditions. So the bananas are quite different in that we only ever propagate them in the middle of summer.
Right.
Everything else is propagated right now. And in fact, you know, most people that say, oh, you know, I can't propagate anything, I always say to them, in the wintertime, you can propagate anything. It always works really well. As soon as the leaves have dropped, we can propagate. The only plants that are quite difficult to propagate are our natives. Great if we're doing it from seed. If we're taking cuttings, it takes a little bit longer, even at this time of year.
If I remember rightly, you have a way of fast-tracking seeds too. Can you share that, please?
Yes, and so a lot of our natives, and one of our really good nitrogen fixers, so a really good nitrogen fixer is Tagasasti or tree lucerne, and we've got other natives that have very, very hard seed coats like the Kofi and the Kakabik. And so I just rub those seeds in between sandpaper, and then I pour boiling hot water on top of them, and then that actually breaks through the seed coats.
Right.
And then you can plant them, and within 7 to 10 days they'll be up, and yeah, and you'll be transplanting them within about 6 or 7 weeks after that.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, whānau, you've heard it here first on Colours of the Heart. Hey, we'll pause for a song, and if you haven't been told today, let me be the first. You are cared for. Kia ora.
I close my eyes and I can see the world is waiting up for me. That I call my own. Through the dark, through the door, through where no one's been before. But it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care, so call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. 'Cause every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be, a vision. The world we're gonna make.
They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say we've lost our minds. I don't care if they call us crazy. To a world that we design.
Kia ora, whānau. Hey, welcome forward to Colours of the Heart. And I'm with Dee, and we're talking about gardening and moon cycles. And we touched in on a subject in relation to our mental well-being in the pause time and how beneficial putting your hands into Papatūānuku is. So please, Dee, you have the floor. What's your feelings on this?
Yeah, I just think it's great when people can get out into the garden. I think sometimes it's quite daunting to people to actually grow their own food. And, you know, people look out and think, oh, there's just lots and lots of weeds there. So I think, you know, going and joining with other people to learn how to do it is great. We were actually talking during the break about the number of new community gardens that are started up in Taranaki. I mean, there have been quite a few here for a while, and there's certainly a lot of community orchards, but there's a, you know, two new ones, one on Endeavour Street and one on Glen Park Avenue. And it's great to see workshops running there and people learning how to make compost or how to sow seeds. And it gives them confidence to go back to their own gardens and do that. Or maybe they just like to stay there in the garden and, you know, work with everybody else and then, you know, reap some of the benefits for the food that they grow.
Yeah, tautoko, that social connection is so important, especially in the times that we're experiencing at this present point.
Yes.
And I also know at this time of the year, pruning is a big deal. So would you like to go for it?
So probably in another, well, certainly at this time of year, you can start pruning things like citrus and your feijoas and your stone fruit. But usually we have to leave the pip fruits or apples and pears until we've got complete leaf fall. And so for us in New Plymouth, and looking out the window, that's going to be a little bit later on before it actually, you know, starts to happen. I'm thinking August. But yes, so you can make so many mistakes pruning your trees. I don't know how many gardens I go into and people proudly show me the new trees they've just pruned, and I tell them that they've pruned off every single fruiting bud. And so it's not going to, you know, produce any fruit for the next year. And it's one thing tidying up your trees. It's another thing keeping them productive. And so, you know, just doing a little workshop for 2 or 3 hours, there's lots of free workshops running around the Maunga. I know that Hollard Gardens has got one, certainly Sustainable Taranaki runs some. I run workshops in August as well on pruning, and it's well worth going along to actually learn how to prune well. I see a lot of a lemon tree borer in a lot of the citrus that I go out and see, and really most of that has been caused by just pruning at the wrong time of year.
Right.
You might think, well, you know, all of the citrus is on the trees right now, and maybe that's not a great time to be pruning, but yeah, now is the time to be pruning your citrus while the lemon tree borer isn't flying. If we prune citrus in the summertime, the borer gets in and we lose our citrus. So, there's great times to be pruning, and it starts round about now.
Right. Now, with citrus fruit, I understand is particularly a way of pruning in regard to, because birds are the ones that...
Yes.
See, that wasn't always the time that caused her. So could you share a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, so every single one of our trees is usually pollinated in a different way. And with our citrus, as you said, it's bird pollinated. So the birds need to be able to fly through the branches. If you've got a really compact citrus, then, pruning it by just cutting it all the way around the outside, all you're doing is removing all of the fruit for next year. If you dive into the middle of it and cut out some of those big branches that are filling up the spaces, then that's a much better way to prune your citrus, to allow birds and other insects to get through and to pollinate. And it's the same for your feijoas. Now, if you've got those huge, great granddaddy feijoas, you need to start thinning them out so that you get much better pollination. And talking about pollination, We also need to make sure that we've got the right pollinators in our gardens as well. And so it's one thing to have our fruit trees there, but it's good to have the right sort of flowers flowering at the right time of year. For most of us, it's really easy to get lots and lots of flowers happening in the summertime. But we sometimes forget that with our fruit trees, particularly our stone fruit, we need the flowering to happen early springtime when we get that bud burst happening. And so, you know, having something like a winter flowering comfrey or some crimson clover or some lavender underneath those trees, so that the bees are there and they've already sort of settled into that space. And so as soon as your blossom comes out, the bees just move up from, you know, the flowers underneath, and they get up and they pollinate all of your fruit trees. That's really important. I think a lot of people forget about that. It's one thing to prune, but it's great to have the pollinators in as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And I've noticed you've got a couple of hives down here.
Yes.
You manage them yourself?
I do, yes. It was one of the best things that I ever did. But I have to say that I did go on a course and learn how to look after them. With the amount of diseases that can destroy your beehive, like Varroa mite or American foul brood, you really need to be checking your hives on a weekly basis during the honey flow and, making sure that the bees are really healthy during that time. You have to watch out for robbing. And I don't mean somebody rushing in and taking away your beehive, but the local bees from other hives coming in and taking the honey that your bees have made. So, you really have to be on site. If I'm going away on holiday, I have somebody house sitting that can look after the bees as well.
Wow, interesting.
Otherwise, I have to pack the bees up and send them to somebody who will look after them while I'm on holiday.
Wow.
Otherwise, I know they'll be robbed out.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's just great having them for pollination. Every single flower on every single fruit tree turns into a piece of fruit when you have bees on your property. And you find yourself going round and thinning out fruit. You're not worried about pollination at all when you've got a beehive in the garden.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I heard, and see, please correct me if I'm off track here, but I heard that that healthy bees need honey. You don't put sugar in there. I've heard on occasions that there are some commercial beekeepers that strip all the honey. It's important to leave the honey in there, correct?
It is. And, commercial beekeepers are obviously, it's their business, and they take all of the honey and then they make up what's called a sugar syrup, and the bees are fed on that all the way through the winter months and into early spring as well. When you've got your own hive in your own garden, then you're going to leave plenty of honey for the bees to keep them going all the way through winter. And they come through it a lot stronger and a lot healthier. I've got a lot of flowers flowering in the garden 12 months of the year. And even though I leave about 6 frames of honey in my hives for the bees, usually come early springtime, there's still usually at least 2 full bars of honey left because they're constantly in and out. As soon as there's a bit of warm weather, they covered every single flower in the garden, really. So yeah, it's great.
Brilliant. My mind's flicking back to the course that I did with you again about 6-7 weeks ago. But you talked about elephant garlic around the fruit trees. Now, what's the benefit of that, please?
So putting elephant garlic, particularly around trees that are susceptible to black spot. So elephant garlic can get right up a metre and a half. And it's a hard neck garlic, so it's going to flower as well. And the cloves are absolutely huge, and it has these antiseptic qualities, and it actually protects the trees themselves, and it actually stops black spot. People say to me, oh, well, would that work with my roses? And I say, well, ordinary garlic would work with your roses. So if you just, you know, put a couple of garlic cloves underneath your rose bushes, it actually stops black spotting roses as well. You don't need to be covering your roses in chemicals. So works, obviously you need to scale it up when it comes to fruit trees. So instead of these tiny little garlic cloves, we have to go for the really chunky elephant garlic. And it's at this time of year, having just, you know, passed the shortest day, that we're putting the elephant garlic in around the fruit trees. So I've done all mine. I put them in on a descending moon and on a flower sign.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
And it's the drip line.
It's always the drip line. So when we're putting in companions, and you remember from the course we talked about guild plants. So guild plants are those that look after the fruit trees. So all of those wonderful pollinators that bring in the bees early, and something like the elephant garlic and the comfrey and your peppermint geranium. And then certainly around the apple trees, you might want to be putting in something like tansy. Which keeps away codling moth.
Right.
So if you've got apple trees or pears or quince, all of them will benefit from either having tansy or peppermint geranium planted around them in that drip line. And we always call it the drip line. We don't want everything crowding around the base of the fruit trees themselves. We want to have that space between the trunk out to the drip line, because that's where all our feeder roots are. And whether we're chopping and dropping comfrey leaves, or we're making our comfrey liquid fertilizer, or we actually could be making seaweed liquid fertilizer, we'll be watering where all of those feeder roots are.
Brilliant.
So we don't want to plant it up.
Brilliant.
At all.
Brilliant. Wow. I'm loving this interview. Brings back the memories of 6-7 weeks ago in relation to that you do so well. What are the, you know, this time of the year, what are the maintenance do we need to do in relation to, you know, that you do so well, e.g. your garden?
I tend to lasagna layer up my bed. So at this time of year, I've got my winter crops in. They don't use up as much room as my summer crops. So I put at least half my beds to bed at this time of year. And I put them to bed in two different ways. I either lasagna layer up, and remember we did some lasagna layering. So that's using carbon and nitrogen materials like cardboard and grass clippings, and just any green stuff from the garden. You can put your coffee grounds in there. So layering up on top of the soil, and then finishing it off with some hay. So usually a whole bale of hay on top, and then just tuck them in for the rest of winter. And they will break down into the most amazing compost. So that in springtime, I'll just walk straight out to those beds with my new seedlings that I've raised, making sure it's a descending moon for transplanting, and I'll put my seedlings straight in, and I won't even have to add in any additional compost. It will be like planting my plant straight into a bed of compost. For some of the bigger beds, I've already put in my green manure crop. So lupins and mustard are my two green manure crops of choice, and they're great for putting in and then just leaving them all the way through the winter months. They'll come up into these huge crops, and then I'll just cut them down. They'll become a layer for my lasagna layering, and then I'll just layer on top again, and off we go.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Hey, thank you so much for participating in Colours of the Heart. It's an absolute joy to have you on board.
Oh, thanks, Rex. It's been wonderful again.
Kia ora. Hey, whānau, you with Colours of the Heart, and yes, you have been told, but let me be the first. You are cared for. Kia ora.
Thank you for your time and your ears. If you are inspired and stimulated by what has been said, you can contact me at Mountaintop Life Coaching and look forward to hearing your feedback. If you haven't been told today, let me be the first. You are cared for. Kia ora.
Imagine there's no heaven.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.